Really enjoyed putting this next segment together, and there was a ton of stuff that Andy Zook and I talked about. Now, the Zook Family Ranch is out of the Volberg area, which is southeastern Montana. That's he gave it to me pretty clearly here, 10 miles northeast of Volberg and 45 miles south of Miles City. This land goes back to the early Homestead Act, you know, where if you came in and settled a piece of land, 160 acres was yours. So this ranch operating for more than 100 years, but, you know, the families had to make certain choices. And I think you'll hear that as we unveil this interview a little bit. To purposely make sure that the Zook family was ranching that land that their great-grandfather and great-grandmother homesteaded on many years ago. And that's why I like this Centennial Ranch program so much as well. You just get introduced to these, you know, salt-of-the-earth Montana folks who are preserving their own history, and sometimes it comes at a sacrifice as well. So there's a large Zook family there. I spoke with Fritz. He's actively also working that ranch. He's Andy's older brother. Also chatted with Laura, and she did not want to come on the radio. I don't think I could have broke her arm out of its socket enough to get her to come on. But she did a lot of research for this application, and it's due out today. As a matter of fact, the release from the Montana Historical Society on the Centennial Farm and Ranch. And there'll be more. There's pictures there. It's really cool. But we started off, as I said, they have got a lot of calving going on right now. And I know you do too. So they were very busy. Couldn't necessarily get them to come on for this time because you just never know what happens out there. But I did chat with him Monday morning and I'm able to carry some of that over. Let's start off with those roots. Those homestead roots goes back to 1978.
Our grandfather, Fritz Zook, or Frederick Zook, and my grandmother, Moretta, decided that they wanted to get married. So they homesteaded in 1917, and for 1 year separately, two adjoining half sections, and waited to get married until the following year, 1918, in order to double the amount of land they would have when they first got married. So the original homestead, my brother, Fritz Zook, lives on right now. That's where we all grew up, and he's obviously named after our grandfather. But anyway, so this is the home ranch that we have been on, you know, for a little over 100 years. So Fritz and I and our five sisters are third-generation Montanans. I have two kids that have grown up here, so they would be fifth generation, because our first generation actually came, our great-grandmother, Laura Brown, her family moved to Miles City in 1878. Her stepfather was with the pack train for Custer when he met his demise at the Little Bighorn. And so with Fort Keogh being built, his contracts with the military brought him to Miles City. And our great-grandfather, John Isaac, he's the one who first started ranching in Montana, as he brought a trail herd from Texas to Montana in 1881 and settled down in the Lame Deer Burning area. Obviously, him and Laura got married. She was a school teacher. And they met and got married. They had our grandfather. He was born in 1895. Our great-grandfather passed away at a very young age. And so my great-grandmother, Laura, actually was county superintendent for Custer County when it was pretty much all of southeastern Montana.
Yeah, you remember those old maps of Montana that showed when we were sort of our first state? You had Dawson and you had Custer County. They were huge swaths in southeastern Montana. So that's significant there. I want to have time. Let's see. I've got a news break, but I'll take these 2 minutes here. And Andy starts talking about, you know, the early years on the ranch.
They started out by raising workhorses. At that time, that was still kind of a big thing. But, of course, tractors, new technology was moving in. So horses became unprofitable. He always had some cows. He got into sheep, but it was the early 30s. So drought and things entered in. So he actually took a job as under-sheriff in the late 30s in Miles City and ran the ranch with a neighbor, Carl Dodge, on shares. And they were in town until the mid-50s, and they had retired and moved back out to the ranch, started to build a new house, when my grandfather actually passed away from a heart attack while while out riding horseback. So my father, Tom Zook, was nearly out of the Navy at that time. I think he just had a few months left to serve. They gave him an early discharge, and he came back and took over the ranch and, you know, helped our grandmother run it. So since 1955, my father, Tom, and then when he got married, our mother, Tootie, were on the ranch, and so all seven of us kids were raised here.
What does it mean to you to have that tradition and to be working that ranch that you know has been in your family going on 100 years?
Well, it means a tremendous amount, especially in my case now, having children that have grown up here. You can point to places where stories from, in my case, my father or my uncle can tell you funny stories or something that happened, you know, over the years. And I just think it means an extra special amount to know that we've been caretakers of this land for over 100 years. And that everybody has strived to make the best of it while they're here, but always be able to pass it on to the next generation. I think that's been very important to our family.
I think that's it can't be overstated how much focus I think our ranching families have on taking care of the land. We'll kind of get into that a little bit too. And also, you know, passing the land on to the next generation, because we all know that the land's going to be here a lot longer than individually we are. So they just have a natural affinity for the land, and it's just born in them. I got to take a break, and we'll come on back with more here as we celebrate National Ag Day by talking about the Zook Ranch, a centennial ranch south of Miles City. First, here's Brian Bennett with headlines.
Montana State University is proud to be named a top 10 military-friendly school by militaryfriendly.com. Ranking third among peer institutions, Montana State is honored to serve more than 530 veteran students. Next time you're on campus in Bozeman, visit the new Travis W. Adkins Veteran Support Center in Romney Hall, home to MSU's veteran student community and support services for veteran students. Learn more at montana.edu/veteran.
Preserving our Montana values. That's part of what I think our centennial farms do, or our ranching families. In fact, I firmly believe in that. And those values I trust and appreciate. And you can see that as we talk with folks in the ag industry. I tell you what, I'm going to get right to this other piece here before I do run out of time in this segment. And I think it's key as we try to understand the sacrifices that they make for the kind of life that they can live, but also you know, how important it is for them to preserve that land. Here's Andy Zook once again from the Zook family ranch there, talking about these family choices.
At that time, there were my dad and his two brothers and his older sister. And, you know, the transition, yes, they tried to have the two younger brothers both stay here, but, you know, it ended up my uncle sacrificed so that he knew the ranch would only survive supporting one family. You know, so that's a choice that he made. They didn't decide, no, I want to sell it and split it. And the same thing has happened when our parents passed away. We prepared for it beforehand. And so many of these places, eventually it gets to the point where siblings are away from the ranch and they see the dollar signs because the land has high value. In order to keep it going, everyone has to want that to happen.
Yeah.
I just feel very blessed that we've been able to do that with this family.
And I can appreciate that so much. Now, he was talking about when his grandfather had passed away, and then Tom, Andy's father, Tom Zook, who, by the way, was a well-known Montana legislator out of that Custer County area, and we'll talk about that as well in just a little bit, or get a word out there on it. But after Tom had come back early, a couple of months early from the Navy to take over the ranch after his father had died, you know, his uncle Bruce was in the mix there. And you know, it happens for all of our ranch families when they think about passing this along. You know, do we, in the inheritance, do we divide this land up then and possibly make it non-productive? The only thing that you can do with it at that point is maybe sell it for development. And we've been facing these choices in Montana. And so I can really appreciate how they, as Andy had said, Bruce had made that sacrifice. Let's keep this land together. And it, same thing happened too when Thomas had passed away several years ago. I think it was about four. Their family had decided as to, and there's seven members in that family. You know, and any one of them could have said, "No, I want my inheritance." But they have put their inheritance in the preservation of the land. That's kind of values I appreciate. We've got more upcoming here with Andy Zook. It's from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Opportunity, safety, teamwork. That's what's waiting for you at BNSF Railway. BNSF is hiring track maintenance positions with competitive salary and benefits in 19 cities across Montana and North Dakota. Track maintenance is vital not only to rail safety and reliability, but also the nation's supply chain. We need people like you to keep our network moving efficiently. Visit jobs.bnsf.com to learn more.
Celebrating National Ag Day by talking with members of the Montana ag community that have been there for more than just a minute or two. This is a centennial farm over 100 years being operated in the same family. The Zook family went back to some of those roots in those early ranching years. And I spoke with Andy Zook just Monday morning, because I'm sure right now he's probably can't even hear. He likes the program. Thank you, Andy, and Fritz, too, and Laura for listening. But he's probably out there right now, helping a heifer. So let's just get into this one. He used a word earlier, about that they are caretakers of the land, and it just kind of comes naturally. But the question is, where did that come from?
Well, my parents taught us that, just by example, for one thing. But we have all, our parents did a great job, and we were all able to get college degrees as well. And education's obviously been a big thing in our family, going way back to our great-grandmother. So it's always been important to read and stay educated. I just think that a love for the land and a love for the animals, it's kind of come naturally, I guess, for us, because we were raised here and raised in a way that was important. Some days are better than other days. There are days it's not much fun to be out in the weather and calving heifers or what have you. But at the end of the day, I think we always appreciate the fact that we wake up to a tremendous view and go to bed to one too. And it's a very, for the most part, peaceful and good place to be.
Yeah, I mean, and it's hard to describe that, the pull or the draw that your work and the land has on you. When people ask you that question, what value do you find in this? Why are you a rancher?
Well, number one, I would say it's not about money. There's obviously things we could do to make more money. And if you ask friends or you ask my wife, we're kind of married to the place and don't ever want to leave. And so I just don't know. I just think it's just in us. We feel very much at one with our home area. We've grown up here. In my case, I've been here essentially for 49 years. And every hill, every part of this land, I've known my whole life. It is very hard to explain, I guess, but it's just something deep within your soul, so to speak, you know, that calls us to be here and to do our best to take care of it.
When did you recognize that call was there?
All I can say is that I always knew I wanted to be a rancher from the time I was very young. Essentially always wanted to come back to the home ranch, but was always concerned whether it would actually work out to make it work for all of us. Had a great working relationship with my dad, and so always enjoyed working cattle or haying or whatever. And it's always been a family thing. I can remember Dad, I was probably high school age, or maybe just when I first started college, but he always said, the girls are so much easier on equipment than you and your brother. And that is something. I am the youngest. I can tell you that my sisters taught me a lot, whether it was riding, wrestling calves, whatever. And there's definitely, I know for a fact that women can do this just as well as any man.
You had five sisters, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so you had five bosses, if not more.
Well, maybe more sometimes, yeah.
Do they still stay connected? You know, I know you talked about your family, it having to be a family decision to keep the ranch and maintain it and work it. Do they still stay connected?
We are. We're a close family, but we are quite spread out. All of my sisters have married farmers and ranchers. All reside in Montana except for one, who is north of Douglas, Wyoming. most all of them have their children involved in their places that they're on now. So I think that's key to that. They want to pass on to their children, and so they understand, and they were more than willing to actually give up a large share of their inheritance to Fritz and I in order to allow the ranch to stay in one piece.
The Montana Historical Society has recognized the Zook Ranch as a centennial place. When you walk around there, you look at a barn that was made in 1924. Do you have memories? Do you see Zook family members, I'm just speaking figuratively, from the past, standing on a hill or looking over your land? What's your sense when you think about that 100 years and your connection to it?
Well, yeah, there are times when you think, you know, and so I never knew my grandfather, obviously, as he passed away before our dad was even really getting started in life. But you think about he was here at one time, you know, working cattle. And what is great is we have some old photos that were taken in the late 20s or even like the 30s. And that particular background, that hill, whatever, from the house view is still there. And so absolutely you think about that. When you look back at 100 years ago, it's not just our family. These neighboring places, I know all the names of the people that were here originally. I knew their relatives for the most part, some of them. The old log cabins that are pretty much fallen down now today, sometimes you can barely find where the homestead was, but we, because we've been here, know where a lot of them are, and I've showed them to my children. And so, like, we have a pastor we call Rufus's because a fellow by the name of Rufus Jordan homesteaded there.
That's the stuff you don't want to change. That's the real life sort of thing, right. And it'll probably be that way. This is a tough kind of question, but maybe you think about it. When you look back at the last 100 years in agriculture, and then you think about, well, what's going to happen in the next 100 years of agriculture, what do you see?
I think there's always been ups and downs, and there always will be. We are price takers. By the same token, we are providing a basic need. So I think there's always going to be a need. The one thing that concerns me, I guess, more as a parent, you know, hoping for good for the next generation, for our kids, is it less and less people have actual on-the-ground experience, hands-in-the-dirt experience. And I think that is something that is, you know, is absolutely needed. When you were young, or even a generation before you, everyone had a grandparent or an uncle, probably, who had a farm or a ranch, and they went and visited once a year or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think nowadays, the majority of the population in our country is not that way. And even a town that's not huge like Miles City, not everybody in there has ever really actually been out to a ranch.
I think that's an important point as well, and that's why those programs are so important. That's Andy Zook, by the way, who's one of the operators, along with his brother Fritz, of the original Zook Ranch. Right now, they're looking I think they're mostly leased land, but they've got a lot of sections, 20-plus sections in that area, also some owned property, too, and they've been operating that for more than 100 years, so it's great to catch up with them on National Ag Day. A couple of more comments to come here. Regarding fires, you know, as Andy's lived in that area, grew up over there, Fritz is actually operating on the original homestead too. The fires, you know, dealing with fires has been a little bit different. We'll get a comment too about Thomas Zook, the lesser half of Tom and Tootie. That's probably how he would put it, but certainly a figure known in Montana after his 16 years in state politics. So we'll get a comment on that upcoming as well.
My Beef Checkoff Dollar funds websites like ChuckKnowsBeef.com.
For my Beef Checkoff Dollar, I get beef into Montana classrooms and teach children how to cook.
For my Beef Checkoff Dollar, I get beef promotion around the world.
My checkoff dollar pays for farm fairs and for education and places where young people can learn about the benefits of raising beef in Montana and the nutritional value.
Brought to you by Montana beef producers through their $1 per head checkoff.
Thanks again for being here. Tom Schultz alongside. It's Northern News Network's Voices of Montana. Tomorrow, we'll check that stock market. Mike Bondra is going to be with us here. He's been on before, a certified financial planner. There's, and he sent me something that was sort of interesting about how the markets react during crisis times. You might be surprised at some of that. And also, Kendall Cotton's going to join us from the Frontier Group and Frontier Institute. And they have got something out there. They're dealing with the housing issue like a lot of people are, but they have put together sort of a zoning map. And it shows, I think, in a lot of good ways, a lot of visual ways, how our regulations have played a part in our housing issues in Montana. So we'll talk an awful lot of that tomorrow with Kendall Cotton. Let's get back here to Andy Zook. I got just a couple of minutes, but just a couple more comments from the Zook Ranch. As I mentioned, Andy and Fritz are operating it now. It's been in the family for more than 100 years as we celebrate National Ag Day. These are the folks who make the egg out of National Ag Day. Comment here about fires, because it's probably something that we're dealing with more and more nowadays. Obviously, well, a year or two ago, and more than that, a decade or two ago, it might not have been the same concern. Let's hear what Andy Zook has to say about it.
There are certain challenges that seem different, but a lot of times you look and maybe they're just in a little different form. And fires have always been an issue for as long as I can remember. Dad said they didn't seem as bad when he was younger. But I think part of that is we're an area with a lot of pine trees, and there were less trees. So that has increased our fuel load. And it used to always be when things got dry, you had to worry about the lightning caused fires. We seldom had a fire that wasn't lightning caused. We had 11, which was extremely wet, and some of these hillsides actually slid down from all that moisture. And then there's coal in all of this area to varying amounts, and it exposed some of that. Well, then that was followed by a very dry year in 12. We had some fire start, and that caught these coal seams on fire. Well, that has kind of expanded over the years since then. We've had dry years. We've had massive hundreds of thousands of acre fires that have gotten other coal seams on fire. And so now it's not just that season in late summer till you get some moisture in the fall that you have to worry about fire. Now it is any time that it is dry, and any day that it is very hot and windy is a day you could have a fire.
Yeah, and he had referenced that the fire over there, the West Wind fire, that happened in December. I mean, that's... when we're all dealing with that, like he said, one more comment here. Do I've got time for it? Let me just get it in real quick. It's about their father, Thomas Zook. Couldn't pass it up.
Dad always lamented that he never got to go to college, but he did go to the Navy. And he came back and took over the place, and he was self-taught to play the guitar by ear. So he got to play for a lot of community dances. There were a lot of those even when I was a kid, sometimes just in a old one-room schoolhouse. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so him and Mom got married and raised all seven of us, and then I was in high school, and Dad had served on the school board for over 20 years, and he got asked if he would run for representative for Custer County, and he decided to do so, and he ended up serving 16 years in Helena, six terms as a representative and then one as a senator. I know everyone that knew him and has talked to me at least about it, have always stated how much they appreciated him and how he was always very fair, very straightforward, and very honest and easy to work with, even if he disagreed with you. He said you always have to have the ability to agree to disagree and not let that personally affect how you feel about someone on the other side of the aisle. In fact, some of his best friends were, well, I like I told you before, some of his best friends were the guys from Butte.
And I said, say no more. That's Andy Zook talking about his father, Thomas Zook, who served in the state legislature for about 16 years. Of course, well known in that Custer County area as well. But also did have that reputation for diplomacy and integrity and bipartisanship. And I appreciate that public service. And I know they're twisting Andy's arm as we speak. Hey, thanks, Andy, for the interview. You know, if you got a ranch, it's been in the family for 100 years or more, and it's been operating, it currently does, and you want to be part of the Centennial Farm and Ranch Program, just contact the Montana Historical Society. There are some, you know, qualifications for this, obviously, but as in, I've done a couple of these interviews, and the families that have put the work into this are so rewarded by it, just to have those compilations, those pictures, and those stories written by various family members. It's pretty cool. Again, that's from the Montana Historical Society, and we'll talk more, too, about that centennial program as we roll on down the road. Discussed an awful lot with Andy there. Government, hay pricing, fuel drives up the cost of everything. They could use some broadband in that area. But just so thankful that in this land that we live in, there are those who are taking care of it right. Thank you, guys. See you tomorrow.